For several years now, I've been given the opportunity to participate in the Boston Book Festival, an annual celebration held in and around the Boston Public Library. This time around, I hosted a panel discussion of a new book titled Jewish Jocks. It's a collection of essays about Jewish individuals involved in sports, athletes, coaches or managers, and even the gambler alleged to have fixed the 1919 World Series. In the crowded and very noisy green room before the panel convened, I had the chance to discuss the book with its two editors and one of its more illustrious contributors.
Franklin Foer, editor of The New Republic and Jewish Jocks.
Steven Pinker, professor of psychology at Harvard and contributor to Jewish Jocks.
Mark Tracy, I'm a staff writer at The New Republic and an editor of Jewish Jocks.
Okay. Now, tell me a little bit, first of all, about the genesis of this project.
I think every Jew who sits on their couch and watches a sporting event sits around looking around the field to see if one of his fellow tribesmen is on the field. And this has been a long-time obsession of mine and a long-time obsession of Mark's.
So that's at least two Jews who feel that way when they're watching sports.
I don't know. I think it's a pretty common thing. Growing up, my family would actually devise mythological stories about players that we had a hunch were Jews who turned out that weren't. For instance, Sid Bream, who was a first baseman with the Atlanta Braves, had the name Sid, and he had a mustache and kind of features that plausibly suggested that he might be Jewish. And so my father and I conceived a whole backstory for Sid Bream from Brooklyn, when, of course, we could have looked on in any almanac and found that he was a Southern guy who had not a lick of Jewish blood in him.
You're nodding, Mr. Pinker, as you listen to this. I gather that this is not foreign to you.
Not at all. I grew up in Canada, where, of course, hockey is the sport. And I grew up convinced that Sam Pollock, the general manager of the Montreal Canadiens and a consummate dealmaker, just had to be Jewish. And, in fact, I wanted to write an essay on Sam Pollock for this very volume, until I did the research and I found that, in fact, he wasn't Jewish. But he could have been.
Go ahead and write it.
Right.
That's a better story.
Just an inconvenience that he wasn't. But, you know, when I was a kid, I went to Hebrew school and then Jewish Studies Sunday school, and they took us into the library of the temple, and we all had to take out a book. And there was one book called Great Jews in Sports, right?
I have it on my bookshelf.
Right. But we all competed for it. And I see this as, I hope you see it also, as a worthy successor to great Jews in sports.
That's the idea. And I think that Jewish athletics is kind of is a perfectly normal thing. If you look at Major League Baseball now, there are lots of Jews who are playing, Ian Kinsler, Ryan Braun.
I mean, Yukos, who is identified in Moneyball as the Greek god of walks because his name sounds Greek, but of course he's actually a fairly observant Jew as far as they go from Ohio. I know. The rumor I've heard is that his father will go read Torah at their Ohio congregation, so that's more than a lot of people.
As one of the volunteers began frantically gesturing for us to follow her to the hall, the fifth panelist finally showed up. It was Lawrence Summers, late the president of Harvard University, and before that, secretary of the U.S. Treasury. I just had time to ask him if he'd been waiting his whole life for the opportunity to contribute an essay to Jewish Jocks.
No, I thought that for the first time ever, someone had shown a professional interest in something having to do with me in sports. All my previous associations with sports were as a spectator or as a singularly inept participant whose exploits were of no interest to anyone. So somebody finding valuable some opinion of mine about sports was a special pleasure.
Jewish Jocks, subtitled An Unorthodox Hall of Fame, is edited by Franklin Foer and Mark Tracy. The book is published by 12, a division of the Hatchett Book Group.